Welcome to your doom.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
Eszol Gabir úr, jelentsérék a csárdában vannak.
Kicsodák?
Jelentsérék.
És ti hová mentek? Átak a kurva anyátok! Gyerünk!
Okay, guys, this is the Gaming Beast, and this is BeastCast 21. Today, BeastCast is can legally drink, I guess. Whatever. We got lots to talk about, so let's get to start rolling. I'm somewhat tired, so I'm gonna. It might be a short episode. We'll see. It depends on how much stuff I have to talk about. Now, Warner Brothers has did another step towards the Justice League movie, and a very unprecedented, a really weird one, in my opinion. They apparently are interested in Ben Affleck directing the movie. Now, let me tell you again, directing. Now, Ben Affleck has been directing movies now recently. He had actually quite some success, actually more than with his acting. He might turn into another Ron Howard, which is the movies, The Town. He's famous for The Town. So Warner Bros. Is talking with them, and the trade notes of the movie version is saying that the team will include Batman, Superman, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, and The Flash. Which is good. It doesn't have to be. It's more, I guess, the big five instead of the big seven. But you know, all the big ones are in there now. You're not gonna have Aquaman. You're not gonna have Martian Manhunter. Kind of a disappointment. But remember, Avengers didn't have Ant-Man. Didn't have the Scarlet Witch or whatever. I would say it didn't have Ant-Man and Wasp, and they're saving them for the sequel. Now there's still no notes if the next movies are gonna tie into this or not, or it's gonna be a separate thing, because Warner Bros. Is very tight-lipped. It's just kind of an announcement. I don't know what you guys think, Ben Affleck. I don't know about it. Is it gonna be like the Justice League of Boston or what? You know, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that all Ben Affleck knows is Boston stuff. I mean, I liked him in Dogma, for example, and yeah, a lot of people hated Daredevil. Daredevil wasn't good, but it wasn't that terrible either. But it wasn't really anything. Rememberable, probably didn't age well. Like, I enjoyed it watching in a movie theater somewhat, but I'm pretty sure if I would watch it now, I wouldn't like it. Especially now, if you would compare it to Avengers and stuff. Also, Daredevil news, another news, big news actually. In October, the rights will technically revert back to Marvel if Fox doesn't start filming a Daredevil movie. And at this point, they are not quite ready yet, because they have been trying to get a director for the movie. I don't even know if they have a spec script ready. I'm pretty sure they have some kind of skeleton script ready, probably. They have very little time invested into this, but I'm guessing they want to keep it. Now, and there's rumors floating around that that Disney, who owns Marvel now, and Fox, who owns the live-action rights to Fantastic Four, Daredevil, and X-Men. For all of you who don't know, back in the early 90s, Marvel almost went bankrupt and completely ran out of money. So the only way to get one of the ways to get money was to sell their rights to their big franchises, like Fantastic Four, X-Men, Spider-Man, and those. Now, which it means the contract that they signed is like a perpetual contract, which means I think every one of the licenses is a little bit different, but more or less the studios have to make a movie every 5 years. That's why you had this rebooted Spider-Man. Now, I haven't seen the new Spider-Man yet. I plan to watch it soon. But point is, it doesn't matter if it's good or bad. The point is, one of the main reasons this movie was made, was to and why it was made so soon after the third one, was simply because they wanted to keep the license. And if they wouldn't have made or developed the movie, the license would have eventually reverted back to Marvel. And Sony, of course, doesn't want that because Spider-Man is still a big cash cow in the movie industry, and in general. So I don't know exactly about the new Amazing Spider-Man, the new movie. I've heard it's pretty good, but it's nothing too special. It's kind of been swept under the rug with like Dark Knight and the, you know, whatever shooting happened, and of course Avengers. It's kind of, you know, hard competition there, because we've seen already 3 Spider-Man movies. I mean, what new can they bring? I mean, I'm really curious about it. I know I'm like the last person on Earth who hasn't seen it. Maybe my good and also my good friend Toss97, who watches whatever. He prefers watching movies on DVD or Blu-ray or whatever. I can understand that. Movie tickets can be so expensive, and seriously, like, you can buy DVDs for the price of one admission. Like, especially when you're talking 3D, it's like getting $13 there or more. I don't know. 3D is so overrated. Although I did like the Avengers in 3D, but I don't know. Like, I'm not saying that they should get rid of the 3D, but the problem is with 3D, it's a cheap gimmick to make people pay. And they did that back in the 50s, and they did Technicolor, and they did rotoscope 4D movies where they would move. You know, that's not new stuff. They just use new technology to do it. I mean, yes, it's not the same 3D they did in the 50s. Obviously, they're using digital technology and shit, but it's the same kind of idea, the same principle. Like, in the 50s and 60s they did it, then it kind of got an old hat, nobody cared about it, and the movies took it away, and now they brought it back, but new and revived. Same thing with 4D movies. Like, I remember I've seen Battle LA, which was, it was like a so-so action flick. It wasn't really anything special, but it wasn't that bad watching. It was basically like Call of Duty versus Aliens, you know. And if you wanted to have a dumb action flick, then there you go. It's like a one-time watch movie. And that movie, I remember, I was in America. That movie was, I was in a movie theater, and like it was like a 4D cinema, and like, they set up this. It wasn't a movie theater that was always set up for this, but they set it up, and basically, like, your chair would move slightly when there was an explosion. But honestly, it was kind of lame. Like, I'm pretty sure in theme parks they have the same thing, but much better. I don't know if you ever seen Matinee with John Goodman, where he plays this horror movie, this B-movie horror movie director, who uses, like, apparently back in those days when those movies were popular, these old horror flicks, they would use all kinds of effects and stuff to scare the people even more, and, like, dress up people and use smoke and movement and all kinds of parlor tricks to make them more scared. And it's kind of cool, because that was a movie going experience. It wasn't just watching a movie, you know. It was something special. That was something you couldn't watch on TV, you know. And that's something I really would like to experience, if that still exists anywhere. But not in a movie theater, like, not obviously in a movie theater, but not in a theme park, really, where it's like all high tech and shit. I'm thinking more, like, if they have something like that Matinee one, you know, like old school from the 50s and shit. That would be really cool. Let's move on. I didn't even want to talk about this, but it just came up. So yeah, Ben Affleck directing Justice League. I'm not sure about that, but you know, it could be good. Apparently, Kick-Ass 2 was finally announced, and they did a banner, but like, who cares? It's a banner. It's like, well, took me a half an hour in Photoshop, if at most. So yeah, obviously they're making a second one, because the first one did pretty well, so... And it had, a cliffhanger ending. And this, well, not a cliffhanger, it was an open ending where you had Red Mist now embracing the whole supervillain thing, and then you would have more supervillains in the future. So, I'm guessing it's going to be more of the same. It's not going to have quite the same shock effect anymore. So, if they want to really bring something new, I would be really curious. But I'm guessing it's going to be based off the second volume of comics or whatever. Anyway, sorry, I was working, so I haven't went to sleep yet. I work at night, so in a hotel. Anyway, yeah, good news is, like I said. So, the rumor was, I'm just going to go back fast. The rumor was that the Daredevil, I went on a mega tangent again, sorry about that. Brady, if you're listening to this, a shout out to you. Anyway, mega tangent, go away. So, they have this, Oh yeah, so Daredevil was about to expire, right? This October will expire if they don't continue development of the movie. And really, it's not a lot of time, because movies take time to make, you know. At least, usually movies, big budget Hollywood productions need at least a couple of years. I'd say they need at least 2 to 5 years, you know. I mean, if not most, but that's including getting all the money together, getting pre-production done, getting the script nice, because that's the thing, is you have to get the script really well, especially if you want to make a lot of money, you know, because script is everything, you know. If the script is right, the movie's going to be right. The rest, and obviously you need a good actor and good actors and good directors, but if you have a good script screenwriter, he will know how to write for those actors and everything. So anyway, I gotta get this done here. So, Daredevil was about to expire, right? It is about to expire, but there's some rumors floating around in the interwebs that Disney, who now owns Marvel, is negotiating with Fox, who owns Fantastic Four, Daredevil, and X-Men. The live-action movie rights only, of course, so they cannot do cartoons or anything. And basically Disney was asking, okay, look, we know you have a director, you're negotiating with the director, you want to make a reboot. You know what? You can keep it still for a while, try again, but we want to have some of the Fantastic Four characters. And that means that they won't get the Fantastic Four story. How these licensing deals work is that not only do they get the characters from the comic books, but all the characters that were introduced in that comic book line. So that means Fox has also the rights of, obviously, to Silver Surfer, Galactus, which we have seen as a big fart. So. And basically, Marvel's asking, can we have Galactus, Silver Surfer, and Silver Surfer? Because, obviously, they want to add those characters for their future Marvel projects, because it's going out into space, because they are making Guardians of the Galaxies, the villain for the next Avengers movie is going to be Thanos. who is also a major villain for Silver Surfer. Even if you haven't read the comic book, I haven't read that many Silver Surfers, but I have watched a cartoon from the 90s, which I did enjoy a lot, because it had a really cool, this Kirby-esque style, which you rarely see in a cartoon, even in a Marvel cartoon. And there also you can see Thanos, and he's basically the dark side of Marvel, but he is a little bit more. He's a little bit his own thing, you know. I don't know if I've said this before, but Marvel and DC have a one tradition going that they rip each other off all the time. You know, not just Marvel from DC, but DC from Marvel all the time. You know, they. That's why you got Daredevil, because he's kind of a ripoff off of Spider-Man, and now the new Action Comics feels like Superman is kind of like the Incredible Hulk, and Spider-Man kind of, but with Superman, with Golden Age Superman powers, and so on. So, there's other characters, like you could say Lobo is basically Wolverine in space, you know, without claws and a little bit more powerful, a little bit more obnoxious, or a lot more powerful, I think, but whatever. The freaking tangents. So, the thing is, Marvel said, we will let you work on the movie. We'll not, you know, take the movie rights back, even though we could. But we want Galactus, Silver Surfer, and what was it still? I gotta see here. I'm gonna check the notes. Beepity babbity boo. Here we go. Apparently, Joe Carnahan, some kind of dude, I guess he's the lawyer. Which characters did they want? Yeah, they want Silver Surfer, Galactus, and Uatu the Watcher. Now, for those who don't know who those are, Silver Surfer is the guy who is the servant of Galactus. He's a guy from a planet which is basically a big philosopher, hippie planet. And Galactus is about to eat that planet, but he says, no, oh, please don't. I will be your herald, and I will choose, I will help you feed your hunger. And his plan is that he joins Galactus, but he only sends him to worlds that are on, that have no life. But Galactus fucks him over. He gives him power cosmic, which is like huge. He becomes one of the most powerful superheroes in the Marvel Universe. And he helps Galactus first because I think his memory is kind of messed up. Galactus kind of messed with his memory, but eventually he breaks free out of Galactus' grip. And he's quite a powerful superhero. He's like silver, like it's his body, you know. He looks kind of almost like, if you're familiar with Dr. Manhattan, imagine Dr. Manhattan only silver and he has no junk. Kaiser always found that so funny, but, you know, I always thought, if you don't need to eat, drink, or have sex, and you can live in space, and you are like a cosmic being, you know, why would you need junk? But I guess, whatever. Why wouldn't you need junk, you know? Why wouldn't you need a penis and shit like that? So, those three characters, obviously, they want to use them for the, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy, and then Avengers 2. Because if Thanos is going to pop up, then it's going to be universe-threatening. And I'm pretty sure they want Uatu to appear, because Uatu always appears to the people when there's a great threat. You know? Now, I don't know what that's going to mean, but if that's going to mean that you have Uatu the Watcher and Galactus and all those, and Fox wants to make a Fantastic Four movie, but they don't want to have Galactus and those in it for the first one. But if Marvel gets those rights back, will Fox still be able to use them? And will we have then two Galactuses, two Uatus? You know, it's so stupid. I'm so sick and fucking tired of this whole corporate, like, you know, deal making and shit. You know, it's give Marvel the rights back. You know, give them all the rights back. You know, I know it's not gonna happen, especially like with Spider-Man and X-Men. But you know, you could just give them Fantastic Four back. You know, and I don't see why they're like just saying, oh, just partially, whatever. And it says, why not trade? Obviously, they want to go into space and shit. This would be such a perfect opportunity to reboot Fantastic Four. But not by Fox, and not with their shitty way. No, I want to see Marvel reboot Fantastic Four, and I want to see them help Tony Stark and Avengers fight Thanos. That would be so awesome, epic, perfect. You could have a new Doctor Doom. There could be so many cool things going on, but... Well, at least... And then, basically, what happened is, on the same website that I was checking Superhero Hype, they've been saying, oh, no, it's not trading. They're denying it, apparently. But I think Fox is denying it. By sources at Fox have been denied. Okay, you see, that doesn't mean anything. They're denying it because they're worried, because they're not sure. Should we keep Daredevil? Do we really want to make a Daredevil, or we want to make a Fantastic Four movie? I'm saying Fox, let it go. Okay, you obviously are doing X-Men movies. Fine, so Marvel is not going to see those anytime soon. But if you're going to make X-Men movies, then make X-Men movies and just don't be greedy. Fox, don't be freaking greedy, you know. But that's the problem, is they think they can make a good Fantastic Four movie. They think they can make a good Daredevil movie. Now, to be fair, the Fantastic Four movies weren't that bad. They were fun, and I will accept them as Fantastic Four. But on the other hand, they had lots of problems, you know. And now I just like see a movie like Avengers, and I'm like, yes, it can be made. You know, you can take also Fantastic Four and make it into a great movie. I really hope, even if they just get the three characters back, it's like a step towards a Marvel Fantastic Four movie. Because I guarantee you, they're getting that guy from Chronicle. Now, I haven't seen Chronicle yet. I hear it's really good, but I know the guy's like a comic book fan and stuff, and like superheroes and stuff, but a guy like him, he's like kind of like a young buck, kind of like a, hey, I'm so cool, I'm so hip, blah, blah, blah. A guy like that shouldn't be directing a Fantastic Four movie. You know, you need somebody like Sam Raimi with Spider-Man. Like, Sam Raimi, he loved Spider-Man. He loved Spider-Man since he was a little kid. And that's why he was great, you know. And he did the villains, like, especially when he did the villains and the storylines that he wanted to do. I know a lot of people say, oh, you know, you know, Spider-Man 3 sucked, and yeah, it did suck, but the reason why it sucked, because he wanted to originally just have Sandman in it, and then the movie would have been good, you know. Maybe also the New Goblin. But then the producers were pushing Venom, because pretty much they were sure this is going to be the last Spider-Man movie. Like, they were thinking maybe, and they even started developing the fourth one. But the problem was, Venom was introduced and he was completely butchered. That's the problem. And at first I wanted to be apologetic about this, because I did enjoy it somewhat. I did like the special effects, especially the Sandman fighting special effects. Didn't care too much for the New Goblin. You know, there were some rumors that he would become the Hobgoblin, which would have been awesome. You know, I'm guessing another Goblin would have been like boring, but if you take Hobgoblin, you know, and who is not what's his name? Harry Osborn, you know. But it's this mercenary dude, but it doesn't matter. I wouldn't have mind that change up, because then we could have seen Hobgoblin. I always loved Hobgoblin. I liked him much more than Green Goblin, because I know it's just, oh, well, what's the difference? There's just guy on these weird floating surfer dings. But those are awesome, you know? I mean, it took me forever to figure out how the hell they're controlling it, and it doesn't matter. It's a fucking comic book. They just do. You know, it's just like cybernetic connection to the machine or something, or they just move it with their feet, or, you know, it's, who the fuck cares, you know? I mean, that's the problem with nowadays. Everything has to be realistic, grounded, explained, it has to make sense, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what happened to fun? Have you ever seen Toxic Avenger? There's a lot of stuff in it that don't make sense, but it's fun. It's fun as heck. As heck. What the hell? It's fun as hell. Yeah, I'm becoming here. Goody two-shoes in the end. Oh well, fuck it. So I'm really hoping Marvel at least will get those three characters back, because then we will have a truly epic, because you know they're going to be either in the Guardians of the Galaxy or in the New Avengers or in both. And I'm thinking, if they're going to get Uatu might be the new guy, the new Nick Fury. You know what I'm talking about? Like, Uatu is going to pop up in the end of these new Marvel movies and said, hey dude, there's a storm brewing. We need your help, you know. And he's talking about, of course, about Thanos and Infinity Gauntlet and shit like that, because Thanos has the hots for Death, and he wants to make Death happy so he can get it on with her. But she's, you know, kind of an emo chick. Obviously, she's Death, you know. I still find the funniest reason, by the way, why Deadpool can't die. Like, he literally can't die. It's not even his healing factor is pretty crazy, but it's only crazy to a limit. Like, technically, he would be able to die. But the reason why he can't die is because Death has the hots for him, because he's like a living, insane killing machine who cracks jokes and breaks the fourth wall. And she finds that hot, so Thanos doesn't allow him to die because he doesn't want competition, you know what I mean? So yeah, and that's something we will never see in live action too, because all the X-Men characters, all the friggin' X-Men characters, the live action rights belong to Fox. Although there's one exception. What is it? Scarlet Witch. Scarlet Witch is a mutant, but also is more known, at least to me, as a member of the Avengers. Now, she's also been with the X-Men, and also against the X-Men, and so on and so forth. And because of her, after the licensing deals, usually when the character first appeared, but apparently with her, it was like, we're going to share it. So, but when Marvel uses her, they cannot mention any of her mutant background. So they have to make a new origin story for her, which is going to be interesting. Maybe they're going to connect her with Doctor Strange or something. And then they're going to... And the Scarlet Witch for the Fox X-Men verse is going to be... They cannot mention any of the Avengers stuff. But I still find it funny that whenever she's going to pop up in both sides, there's going to be a connection, and people will say, oh, Scarlet Witch. And even if on Fox, I guarantee you, they're not going to even gonna call her Scarlet Witch, they're just going to call her after her real name, which I don't know right now. But even then, people will see a connection. You know, it's like all these young kids and these people are like, oh, all these superheroes get together, and like, why is this... There's this crossover, and they don't know that these guys, it's not a crossover in my opinion. You know what? Yeah, it's kind of a crossover, but it's a crossover only if they're from separate publishers. Now, I know that's not the definition, but for me, that's the case. Because for me, you know, fucking Thor hangs out with Iron Man, and, you know, sometimes he jumps over to Asgard, and, you know, he's duking it out with Hulk, and you got fucking Spider-Man getting a new armor from Iron Man. It's a big universe, you know. It always has been. Same thing with the DC universe. That's always my biggest disappointment with the Nolanverse, that you have these great Batman movies, but no other characters. Then again, Nolan was doing his own thing, so I'm not going to harp on this anymore. I've said my thing, you know. I still haven't seen either the new Dark Knight movie, so still got to watch that. I've heard some stuff that it's not that great. I've heard some more negative reviews that it's good but not great, and some even would go out that it's boring and shit and whatever. I'm pretty sure it's a good movie. It might be even a great movie, but is it the same greatness that was achieved with The Dark Knight? I'm not quite sure, because Bane is not a great substitute for Joker. If as much as I like how they made the Batman and everything, and it's pretty cool, I really hope when they reboot Batman eventually, not only will he be a part of what they're planning now with Justice League, I hope they're doing it like Marvel, a larger cinematic universe. And how do you want to have Batman rebooted? Like, I would say, you know, especially with the Aurora shooting and everything, throw it back, you know. Make Batman as comic booky as possible, you know. You can still make it dark and everything, but make him more comic booky. I would even go with the freaking blue suit. But, you know, I would have an actor who could portray him and make him in a blue suit. And, like in a Silver Age, would be fucking awesome. Or make his costume look like from the animated series, you know, and base it off of that. You know, hell, I always said the DC animated cartoons, the movies, like flawless, most of them are really good. They range from great to awesome. Paul Dini with his DC Universe, he really knows what he's doing, and I don't understand why the live action movies, most of them are struggling, unless they're called Batman, you know. Okay, sure, the first two original Superman movies, in my opinion, were really good, especially the first one. But already the second one had issues, and the third and the fourth one were just major turds. Even though, as much as there was superhero fighting lacking, and like true superhero fighting, maybe in the end there was some little stupidity in the third one. In the fourth one, they made up with this, where he was fighting this nuclear man, who was obviously, when the script started, this was Bizarro. And I didn't actually notice that for the longest time. And then they just made him into Nuclear Man, because apparently, like, what was it? Nuclear weapons, of course, you know, you still have the Iron Curtain, so de-weaponization was a big topic. So, Avengers 2 is going to be directed by Joss Whedon. That's a really good news. I don't know if I've said that, but yeah, I'm really happy for that. So, if it's anything near to Avengers 1, and then I'm going to be happy, but I'm pretty sure they're going to fucking blow our socks off, because it's going into space and it's going to get crazy. That movie is going to rock. Like, Avengers, I'm pretty sure, like, the superhero movie wave was waning. It was like people were getting sick of it, and Green Lantern was the movie that almost killed the superhero wave. Like, that's when people were getting sick of it, sadly. Green Lantern should have been this movie that should have pioneered, together with Batman, the new age of the DC animated, the DC movie, the DC cinematic universe, and tie in with the other characters, and it should have opened the door for other characters, you know. And well, it didn't really. All we get is a stupid TV show, and now they're kind of backtracking. Now they're announcing different kind of heroes, of course, and villains, of course, all non-powered ones, because they said in our universe there is no superpowers. And I'm like, It's the goddamn DC universe. When it comes to superpowers, the DC universe is insane. Like, yeah, sure, you got your insane characters in Marvel, but Marvel has more to, I'm not saying down to earth, but like if you compare the Avengers with the Justice League, and I know I did a fight, and there's some people who disliked it. Technically, I would say the Justice League is more powerful, but it's just the Avengers had Hulk. If the Avengers didn't have Hulk, I'm pretty sure Justice League would win. Also, I was just having four people of the Justice League. If you add in guys like Martian Manhunter and stuff, it would change. But still, as I said already before, I did this fight multiple times. And in that fight, that case, Justice League won. And it's mainly thanks to Hulk. And Iron Man. Iron Man did some good contributions. Hulk is just like an unstoppable force in a way. Even for guys like Superman, since Hulk always can get stronger. And I'm a big Superman fan. Like, I got a negative comment, you know, like, hey, Superman should have won, he's got more powers. It doesn't matter if you have more powers, it's how you use them and what kind. Yeah, Superman's strength is pretty much equal to Hulk's, but the difference is, once Hulk gets angry, that strength gets greater. I mean, he gets, the more he gets angry, the more he gets hurt, he's like a Saiyan almost. He gets more. He gets stronger. Superman, on the other hand, he gets weaker as soon as, you know, his battery runs out. Since he absorbs his energy through the sun. So that fight wasn't that far fetched. I mean, I tried to make the characters as close as I could on the stats, and there's only so far you can go. And of course, the AI that I have for the characters isn't the greatest. I could have probably won the fight if I would have did it, but that wasn't the point. You know, it was just showing which team would more or less win. Of course, you had Batman rushing into the fight and everything, and Batman would be actually in the background, only fighting with guys that would be his equal, like Captain America, who he could actually beat, who he could actually defeat in a straight one-on-one fight. Like, Batman can defeat other people with his brains and his calculations and stuff, but and his gadgets, but yeah. So I've read a couple of articles about, and most people always say Justice League wins, and I'm like, honestly, it's a good guess, and these people know what they're talking from, reading a lot of issues, but it's just like a guessing game. I like to try to simulate it. I know it's like, what's the point? Simulating the impossible. You have nothing to compare it to, so it can't be scientific. And I said, I never said it's scientific, but it's a little bit, it's a slight, not even scientific in a sense, but it's a slight more of a proof in a way, you know. I simulated it and multiple times, you know, at least 30 times, and usually the Avengers came out on top. Maybe I did Hulk too strong, I don't know, but like, as far as, I was just basing him off as far as how I've seen Hulk and what his abilities were. This one guy also who was writing that complaint, he was saying, oh, Hulk has only super strength. It's bullshit. Hulk has indestructibility, just like Superman, to a high degree. I mean, he can take rockets, bombs, machine guns. He can have a fucking house fall on him and he's fine. He can hold his breath for a long, long time period. He's even got regenerative abilities, kind of like Wolverine, because I think he tried to kill himself as Bruce Banner, but it didn't work. Because he would revert to Hulk, then regenerate, and then he would revert back to Bruce. So he literally cannot kill, at least he cannot kill himself. You're basically talking about a guy who is equal to, in my opinion, to Doomsday. And some people might find that controversial, but I actually made also Doomsday, and based off of all the information that I got. And I made him fight Hulk, and they were pretty much evenly matched, because Doomsday pretty much was DC saying, hey, let's make Superman, you know, his next fight he's gonna die, who could actually kill him. Hulk, well, he's Marvel. What you gonna do? Oh, we're just gonna make our own Hulk. We're just gonna take the Gray Hulk, add some spikes, and voila, you know. And there's been some people that said, oh, how lame and everything, but I like Doomsday, you know. I mean, the Hulk type superhero, supervillain, is a type, like Juggernaut. It's the big, uber-muscular tank, you know, like Juggernaut, Hulk, Pitt, who is still there? Of course, all the Wrecking Crew, of course. Thor is more on the level of Superman, you know. He's like, it's, you have to be so muscular that it's actually deformed in a way. And there's still a bunch of them. Solomon Grundy, who is another version, who is another way of, that's DC ripping off Hulk, but in a really cool way. And then they had Doomsday, yeah. And I think Hulk could go toe-to-toe with Doomsday. Like, as powerful as Superman is, and yes, in DC versus Marvel, Superman won. But let me remind you, DC versus Marvel were as cool as it was a crossover. And we had some really cool fights, you know, including Hulk versus Superman. It was a popularity contest. The readers were voting who should win. By that one, it was a popularity contest. Simply, Lobo lost to Wolverine because Wolverine is way more known, way more popular than Lobo ever was. You know, most people don't know who the fuck Lobo is. I sure didn't know who Lobo was. I knew who Wolverine was. I've been reading X-Men for years. You know, and I love Wolverine. And there's this guy, Lobo, who the fuck is that guy? And, you know, and then I started, you know, reading about him because that was a great issue, because there was a lot of the DC characters that I didn't have a fucking clue about, because I was, for years, I only read Marvel. Then I started reading a couple of DC comics again. And then they released Lobo, and, you know, they had, like, a whole biography on him, and I read his biography and the other characters that I know, and he really caught my eye, because he was, like, basically Wolverine in space with a, he's more of a villain, but he, I always see Lobo as a chaotic, neutral, he's a chaotic neutral. He's not evil, he's not good. He keeps the universe in balance. What means is he will join the team that is weaker to balance out the universe. Like, he will join the Justice League one day if the villains are dominating, and he will help them out, but then he will go back and fight them, fight Superman the next day, because, you know, the heroes are gaining, you know. And but he's not gonna do it consciously, really. He's very villainous, very evil in most of his ways, but he has also an honor code and stuff, and he's a fun character, you know. And started out as a side character in Legion 90, which is kind of a weird, it's not Legion of Superheroes, it's just called Legion. I was just telling Toss that. It's a weird unknown comic book also made by Griffin or whatever, the guy who made Lobo. And it's kind of also a science fiction superhero one. It's in the DC universe. It's also a group, but this group is different, and it's more edgier, at least for the time when it came out, 70s, 80s, or whatever. I think 80s. And, Legion 89, then it was 89, I think. Whatever. Point is, that's where Lobo debuted. Well, technically, that's not true. Lobo debuted the very first time in a, was it a Legion comic book? It was a different comic book, but that was like pre-Crisis, and he looked very different and pretty lame, actually. I'm so happy that they, you know, that's one of the reboots that was really good, because he was just a throwaway villain with a really, really gay costume. And I'm not saying that lightly here. A lot of, if not all, superhero costumes do look gay, and not that there's anything wrong with that, you know. I have no problems with homosexuals or anything, but, you know, it's just, you have a guy like Wolverine running around in yellow and blue tights and whatever, and which I personally like, you know. I don't have an issue, but Lobo just had this really weird, like, purple stripe thing and just didn't look good on him. But he was just a throwaway villain, but I guess they was it after one of their reboots, I think after Zero Hour or after Crisis, so it's post-Crisis. That other one was pre-Crisis Lobo. So he had post-Crisis Lobo, and he was then became, he got his whole biker outfit. Still looked pretty different from how we knew him, but the basic Lobo was created. Like, he went through some artistic style somewhat, but the basic Lobo is, you have the, basically the biker in space with the, ash gray, the ash white skin, and the, like, black markings, which looks like a beard, and the burning red eyes, and the long kind of, what is it, kind of dreadlockish hair. And you got a big freaking chain and hook on his right arm, and that's Lobo, and he's awesome, man. I love his attitude. He's just such a nice, he's just, you know how in DC comics are cool, but a lot of the DC characters are just so tight-assed, you know, and I've been just getting more into, like, what is it, Justice League International, and then, oh my god, thank god you got, like, it's so funny and so entertaining, great series, the original one. Don't know if I'm going to read the new 52 one, but I might. I don't know. I'm not so impressed with New 52. I'm like, I didn't see any reason why they needed to reboot the universe again, because people are complaining so much. And once the sales go down, they're going to reboot it, re-reboot it again. But Lobo is just one of those characters. He's like the big funny guy in there. Like, I mean, he's kind of like, I always thought Lobo was to Marvel, wait, it was Daredevil, you know. And Lobo doesn't break the fourth wall that often, like Daredevil, like, or, I don't know, like, you know, a lot of people always know, oh, Daredevil broke the fourth wall. You know who I remember breaking the fourth wall back in the day? She-Hulk. Yeah, you wouldn't have never guessed it. She-Hulk was one of those characters. Was the first character I've seen in any kind of media that was breaking the wall, fourth wall. And as a kid, I didn't like that. I didn't like it because I wanted to, you know, immerse myself. At first, I didn't like it, you know. But then, you know, it grew on me and it was fun, you know. It didn't make the world less real to them. It just, she knew she was in a comic book, apparently. One of the funniest quotes I remember was, she's hanging out with Hulk, who was Professor Hulk at the time, which means it was kind of a in-between between Hulk and the professor, so he could think and talk normally. And she's saying, they're looking for some kind of clue. It's some kind of weird Hulk villain they fought. I don't know, it's like, it's one of the weirdest looking villains, but I mean, I've seen, there's some weird shit in comic books, but I mean, it's not even that weird, but it was just the guy who had like two heads, but they were like on top of each other. So you would have like a big muscular dude, so you would have one head on the top of his head and one on the lower one. Of course, they would, it was like a giant Etten if the two heads would be on top of each other. Now, Etten is the giant ogre like monster, the two headed giant monster in D&D. So, and I've been rambling. Let me check the time here. How am I doing on time? I'm doing pretty fine. I could stop now, but I'm gonna go on. Video games. I posted. I'm gonna give a little shout out here. So, I want to give a shout out to Jerry Terrifying and Mondo Coolcast. They've been supporting me. He's been supporting me for the longest time. And he's a cool and awesome dude. By the way, about video games, I don't have too much to talk about. I'm just going to just say fast. I joined Raptor, which is kind of a video game social site where it also tracks your time for lots of your games, especially PC games and stuff, but also console games. And it's pretty cool because you can see what your friends play and whatever. It's kind of like Facebook for gamers. I played some I've been playing some Counter-Strike with CF. That's been fun. I've been playing some Freedom Force, but because I'm making the next Virtual Warrior, so it's just recording footage, really. But that's been fun, too. I've been playing some Disciples, the Sacred Lands. It's kind of like a Heroes of Might and Magic game, but more role-playing focused, so it feels more like a role-playing game than a strategy war game. Still, it's somewhat simplified, but still pretty cool. I like the art style in it, so yeah. Also, I've been playing Lionheart, of course, although I haven't played that in a couple of days. And, yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Anyway, so shoutouts. Shoutout time to Mondo Coolcast and Jerry Terrifying and the whole Mondo community. I'm gonna list some that are really cool. Of course, Jerry Terrifying with his show, with his videos and his podcast. And also his magazine, and you should go and get Mondo Cool Monthly 3 for free. Go to his website. The link is going to be in the show notes. If you're listening this on Mondo Coolcast, then why aren't you reading the magazine? If you're reading the magazine, then why am I talking? Okay, another big shout-out, of course, to my good friend, CF, Critical Failure. He's an awesome dude, and his show is going, the summer series. It's at 104, I believe. I think it's not yet out, but maybe if I post this, the new episode should be out. And he's been, you know, posting. And it's really cool. I really like his podcast. I mean, after like over 100 podcasts, you eventually figure it out, I guess. I'm still figuring it out with podcasting and stuff. But I like doing it. If I'm any good at it, I don't know. I just plop it up and, you know, just, I've got people saying that it's cool and everything. And anyway, CF, you should go and check out his podcasts and also check out his videos. He's got a bunch of videos now. He doesn't post that regularly, videos anymore. But a couple of, like 2 weeks ago, he posted a review again of Armchair Quarterback, and I really enjoyed that. He did a lot of reviews on indie games and everything when he had more time and stuff. But there's a lot of videos, so if you're interested in stuff, you can check it out. I'm sure you would enjoy it. You know, maybe subscribe, because eventually he will make again videos, but you know, you never know. I mean, he's got a family and stuff, so he's gonna, you know, he's got to take care of business. I want to also give out a shout out to AJ Rosa from the Mondo community. I really like his videos. Keep up the good work, man. Go and check out his stuff on Mondo Coolcast or on AJ Rosa's YouTube. It's going to be in the description. Another big shout out to DeathAdder83, amazing. I'm getting really tired that I forgot DeathAdder. I didn't forget DeathAdder83, and I am clinking with you the Death Mug of Doom right now. There's nothing in it, which is shapeful, but I'll have to get some stuff to put in it. And DeathAdder83, he does videos on, he reviews different wrestling videos and toys, and also different drinks, and talks also about video games, and also just talks about all kinds of stuff in his bullshits video. And he did a drunk video, which was really cool, and he gave a shout out to me, and just it was a really cool time. Yeah, you should check out DeathAdder83. He's a really cool guy, you know, and and you know, check out his YouTube and subscribe, you know. Of course, the Retro Kaiser, cannot mention this without the Retro Kaiser. I mean, he's been posting videos and podcasts again. His new season for Sunday Night Kaiser has started, and because when he started it, there was a lot of technical issues, so he kind of rebooted it. I haven't listened to the latest episode yet, because I've been busy with work and shit and whatever. But I will go and enjoy it. That's something I'm gonna enjoy. that's what he said or she said. Whatever. As Retro Kaiser, good friend of the show. Yes, I'm gonna fucking shout out everyone. If you got a problem with that, whatever. These are good people. You should listen to their stuff, watch their stuff, support them. There's a lot of people out there that get way too much support and they don't do half as good stuff as these guys do. It's that simple. I also want to shout out Sendu, and he's got also a new website with Gex Up. It's Tale Time. He's doing different video production and also podcasting together with him and other people there. You check out It's Tale Time, especially if you're into like console gaming and stuff, and you know, it's something for you. Who's still to mention? Of course, Shintai. Can't have a shout out without Shintai. Shintai, he does all kinds of videos. He does anime reviews. He does video game reviews. He does. He does also podcasts. He's frequent guest on the groups, on the Mondo communities, different podcasts. He's been a guest on my show. He's been a guest. He's like a constant. He's like a co-host on Mondo Coolcast. He's been a guest on CF's show. He's been everywhere, you know. Also, Retro is a co-host and whatever. And he does really cool videos. He recently did a video about what are visual novels. And that was quite interesting because I'm really not familiar with those. You know, if you're really into this stuff, you should check it out, you know. He really knows his stuff around different video games and also anime and JRPGs and all these things, visual novels. He knows that stuff in and out. Yeah, and who's still... I want to give a shout-out to 8-Bit Eric, too. And also, wait, 8-Bit Eric, I really like his Let's Plays. He started a Let's Play series, and I really enjoyed those. And, also doing reviews, and his stuff is going on pretty well. You know, he's going to Vegas to some con. I'm jealous, but what can you do? 8-Bit Eric, if you're listening to this, here's your shout-out. And of course, the one and only David Hasselhoff, Michael, He's been doing reviews. Yeah, I'm just gonna say Michael because I don't know if he uses his actual name. Yeah, he does say Michael. Yeah. Michael reviews a bunch of stuff. He's one of his YouTube name. I think his YouTube name is David Hasselhoff. I enjoy his reviews a lot. He does all kinds of Master System games. He's now working on Alone in the Dark 2 review and 3. Really hard. He's really working really hard on everything. So he's got pretty much zero time for anything else. I'm pretty sure he's just working and doing reviews. So he and I remember the first incarnation of Glitched Out. He's also Glitched Out brother, just like 8-Bit Eric and all the other... most of the guys, too. Everybody's on Glitched Out, except AJ. Yeah. He's been on Glitched Out on the forums, and then he, like, worked himself up, and he deserves to be on the site. Like, he's really good. He's got over 3,000 subs now, so he's doing really well for himself. But go ahead and support him and watch his videos, you know. He's a great guy. Also does a cool podcast, a music podcast with video game music. Really cool stuff. I really enjoy listening to it, mellowing out. Good mix. Has some good info on that. Yeah. Have I forgot anyone? I'm pretty sure I have forgot anyone. Apex. Yeah, okay. Apex, I'm giving a big shout out to Apex, good friend of the show. He hasn't been doing too many videos yet, but I think he's been involved with the podcast. I gotta check that out more. But I liked his videos. He does a lot of Let's Plays, and he also has some reviews. I don't know if he's like stopped making videos totally, but I think he's just busy with school or work or both. So he's from Scotland and stuff, and that's pretty cool. Not Scotland. Is it Wales? Oh, Apex. If I said it wrong, please don't kill me. Please don't stone me or whatever. I'm really tired right now. I'm gonna write it in the show notes. I think it's Wales. Fuck. I'm not gonna look it up now. I could look it up, but I'm not gonna cheat. I just I didn't remember it. I'm tired. Tired as hell. Of course, Toss79, really good friend, really good friend of the show, awesome dude. Always comments, always watches it, my stuff, and always listens to the show. Toss79, this is your shout out. You're awesome. He does toy reviews. He also does comic reviews. He does a bunch of stuff, but mainly it's toy reviews. And he's got a really cool toy collection. He shows it off. Recently, he was showing off this one. What is it? The Sectars, really obscure 80s toy line, or was it early 90s toy line? Whatever. And I said that they are similar to He-Man, and there has been a lot of He-Man ripoff toy lines and whatever. So yeah. So that's not a big surprise. I also want to give a shout out to the Half-Blind Gamer. And yeah, I think I'm this is getting really long with the shout outs. Half-Blind Gamer, really cool dude. He does reviews, of course, Let's Plays, everything. He's a big name in the scene, so you should check him out. He's also the head of Glitched Out, so you should check out his stuff. He's also on God Game and on other places too, I think. He's in God Game, I know that for sure. Yeah. I hope I did not forget anyone. I know this is something else I did, but I really wanted to get this out. I'm actually gonna do a shout out video too. Why am I doing both? I don't know. Why not? I just wanted to do this, just give people a shout out. So, okay, this is the Gaming Beast. This was the Gaming Beast. The Beastcast number 21. I hope you liked it. It was very rambly. I was tired. I hope you got some stuff out of it. I know there was a long shout out thing, but if you're listening to this, you're probably one of these people. So, yeah. If I forgot anyone, you'll come up in the next video. And in the next podcast or video. And I'm about to fall freaking asleep. So I wish you all a good day. And I wish you all an awesome next week. Till we talk again, dear listener. For the Death Mug of Doom.